Good morning, Matthew. I'm Kel Cornbread Halverson with your MI Farm Brief for Saturday, August 1, 2026. Here is your weather for Dodge County, UMN. Today, a high near 80 degrees, mostly sunny. Tonight, a low near 58 degrees, showers and thunderstorms. Now for Kel's market read. At Friday's close, corn slipped about 4 cents, and beans slipped about 1 cent. Recent trend. Over the last 5 sessions, corn has eased and beans have eased. That is the backdrop your cash bid is moving against. Here is our read on why corn slipped about 4 cents and beans eased about a penny at Friday's close. And honestly, the facts do not point to one clean cause. The likeliest reads are quiet. Position squaring ahead of the weekend with no U.S. dealer report on the calendar to trade off of. Boozman's updated farm bill draft, with year-round E15 per brownfield and AgriPulse, landed late Friday, likely too late to lift corn in that session. Stocks point higher into the open, S&P futures up about 0.3%. A firmer tape eases the borrowing and input cost mood your lender watches, though it does not move your cash bid by itself. Now, here is what moved across the wires from my news desk. Story 1. Boozman releases updated farm bill draft with E15 expansion, SNAP revisions. Senator John Boozman, who chairs the Senate Ag Committee, dropped an updated farm bill draft late Friday that carries big news for ethanol country. The headline for corn growers is a permanent green light for nationwide, year-round E15 sales, a move meant to lock in demand for biofuels and give the industry long-term regulatory certainty. On the food aid side, the draft would push states to help pay for SNAP benefits, starting in fiscal year 2029 for states with payment error rates of 6% or higher, and requiring a 20% share by 2031 for those at 10% or above. Both of those cost-sharing dates were pushed back a year from the first draft, and the whole package heads to a committee markup on Thursday, August 6, right before the August recess. Story 2. New Senate farm bill includes SNAP cost delays, year-round E15. Senate Ag Chairman John Boozman, Republican from Arkansas, has unveiled Farm Bill 2.0, the Agricultural Act of 2026, a package that would finally let gas stations sell 15% ethanol blends, known as E15, year-round instead of the usual 10%, a big win for corn demand. The bill also pushes back SNAP cost-sharing deadlines for states by a year, to 529, though states with error rates of 10% or higher would owe 20% of costs instead of 15%, and the national SNAP error rate hit nearly 11% last year. All of this comes as farm bankruptcies climb, with corn growers facing a fourth straight year of net income losses estimated at almost $150 an acre, prompting the National Corn Growers Association to press Majority Leader John Thune for action. Lawmakers are also working to pass up to $12 billion more in farmer aid on top of $12 billion already flowing this year, with the committee set to mark up the bill Thursday, August 6, so the coming week could shape your bottom line. Story 3. Reclamation lays out framework for managing Colorado River Pass 2026. The Bureau of Reclamation has finalized a framework for running the drought-stricken Colorado River after 2026, opening the door to yearly cuts as large as 3.6 million acre-feet for Arizona, California, Nevada, and Mexico through 2036. If Lake Mead drops below 1,145 feet, Arizona would lose 760,000 acre-feet a year, California 440,000, Nevada 50,000, and Mexico 250,000, and the lake already sat near a low 1,041 feet as of July 26. Rather than fixing exact rules, the plan sets outer limits reclamation calls sideboards, with actual two-year operating rules for Lakes Powell and Mead to come later, while Interior Secretary Doug Burgum says states can still strike their own longer-term deal. This matters because 7 states blew past a February deadline without agreement, with lower basin states demanding the upper basin share mandatory cuts, so the federal government stepped in to manage a river that millions of people and countless farms depend on. Story 4. Back home. Columnist Chris Hardy opened with a tongue-in-cheek apology to whoever cursed his power equipment, kicking off another one of his back-home country tales. Hardy and his wife Sherry farm his great-grandparents' land in Jackson County, and he brings serious credentials, a 2001 Pulitzer Prize nomination plus past leadership in Wisconsin's Freedom of Information Council and Newspaper Association. The piece then turns personal, sharing how McKenna Reitling remembers her big brother Miles for his outgoing and sometimes wild personality. It is the kind of honest, seasonal farm writing that mixes humor with heartfelt family memories, and this installment leaves you wanting to know the rest of Miles' story. Story 5. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins to speak at Minnesota Farm Fest. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins is set to speak at Minnesota FarmFest on Tuesday, August 4 at 10:10 a.m. in the Wick Buildings FarmFest Center. Before leading the USDA under the second Trump administration, Rollins ran the America First Policy Institute and steered domestic policy during Trump's first term. Her appearance joins an already packed lineup of political forums covering Minnesota's governor's race, a U.S. Senate contest, and five congressional races across Greater Minnesota, all zeroing in on farm and rural issues. If you cannot make it in person, FarmFest will livestream Rollins' remarks on farmfest.com, so you can hear the nation's top ag official direct from your own place. Story 6. Lean Hogs. Lean hog futures managed to close higher this past Friday, with contracts finishing anywhere from 12 to 70 cents up, according to Austin Schroeder at barchart.com. Even so, momentum steadies have climbed into overbought territory, a warning sign that the recent run may be running out of steam. Sinking crude oil prices are adding broad commodity pressure, which analysts say could drag on the hog market and bring fresh weakness. For anyone watching livestock prices or feed markets, this tug of war between rising momentum and falling energy costs is worth following closely. Story 7. Missouri rice farmer. Higher fertilizer costs outpace gains in rice prices. Missouri Rice Council Chairman Rance Daniels, who farms in southern Dunklin County, says urea ran roughly $300 to $350 a ton higher this year than in 2025, and high fuel prices piled on top of that. Rice is fetching maybe a dollar more than last year, but Daniels says that gain comes nowhere close to covering how much his input costs climbed. He is watching two possible lifelines this fall: higher reference prices in farm program payments and the $12 billion in farmer aid Congress is weighing, which he hopes could arrive by late 2026 or early 2027 to help growers still dig out from the 2025 crop. Daniels also points to a longer game: the Trump administration working to fight unfair trade from countries like India and boost domestic demand. And he recently sat down with Congressman Jason Smith to press the case on trade, aid, and rising costs. Story 8. Healy Driscoll administration celebrates Massachusetts Farmers Market Week. Governor Maura Healy has proclaimed August 28, 2026 as Massachusetts Farmers Market Week, and Agriculture Commissioner Ashley Randall plans to tour three regional markets in Hingham, Billerica, and New Bedford to spotlight family farms and local food access. The numbers are striking, as Massachusetts ranks fifth nationally in direct market sales, with more than a quarter of its 7,000 farms selling straight to consumers and generating over $254 million a year. Officials including Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll and Secretary Rebecca Tepper argue these markets keep dollars in state, sites to volatile national supply chains, and let shoppers shake hands with the growers who raise their food. It matters because most of these markets accept SNAP, HIP, WIC, and senior nutrition benefits, turning them into vital food access points at a moment of real anxiety about the national food system. Story 9. Virtual fencing, continuous covers pay for award-winning no-tillers. Greg and Janice Thorne of Stockton, Illinois just earned the prestigious Leopold Conservation Award after 50 growing seasons of no-till and conservation work. They graze beef cattle on cover crops and use virtual fencing to make adaptive grazing easier in busy or muddy conditions while protecting fragile ground from erosion. The couple skips insecticides and fungicides entirely, and Janice argues the real measure is profit in the middle, not bushels per acre, since far lower input costs leave them more profitable even with smaller yields. Greg also helps lead the fields of Cincinnawa, a farmer-run learning center in southwest Wisconsin, making this a practical look at how healthier soil can pay off. Story 10. Real property law at 250. Where do we go next? Attorney Todd Johnson, reflecting on America's 250th birthday, explains how two old laws shaped the farmland you work today. The Land Ordinance of 1785 carved the country into 6-mile square townships and 640-acre sections, with Section 16 set aside for schools, and it still governs the way over 75% of the continental U.S. is described in deeds. Lincoln's Homestead Act of 1862 built on that grid, letting settlers claim up to 160 acres by living on and improving the land for 5 years, which is why many title searches trace all the way back to that original federal grant. Jansen argues that with modern GPS and digital records, we could reimagine this whole system, sparing landowners the title searches, title insurance, and thousands in closing costs that buying a car never demands. And now, a stop at the coffee shop. Here is today's joke. A farmer's grandson asked, "Grandpa, what's the best thing you learned in college?" The farmer said, "How to fix a tractor without spending $400 at the dealer." That class was free, and it was held in the back 40. Here's Kel's quiz. Over its 9-year run, how many trees did the Civilian Conservation Corps plant? A. 30 million. B. 300 million. C. 3 billion. D. 30 billion. And the answer? 3 billion trees. The CCC, signed into law March 31, 1933, also built 18 state parks and ran soil erosion projects on tons of farms. Many Midwest shelter belts still standing were planted by CCC crews. Source: National Park Service CCC Archive, U.S. Deer Forest Service History. That is your brief. Have a safe day in the fields, and thanks for letting MI Farm I ride along this morning.